Welcome to Simple Life Radio. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and for the next hour, we will dedicate our time and energy to unheard voices of the Central Coast, stories and experiences from local people on topics that are close to heart. So welcome, and I hope you really enjoy the show today. This week, I am pre-recording this interview with a local that I have very high regard for, that I've known for a number of years. And perhaps some of you know him too. His name is Chad Freeman. He is described as an explorer, a student of life, and a willing listener. He doesn't actually come from California, as I thought he did, but he comes from, state of Spuds, Idaho. Definitely loves to travel. He's had a lot of travel in his early life. And he works to expand his own understanding of the world and to bring everyone else along for the ride. And I can definitely agree with that. Welcome, Chad. So, you know, one of the things that I really, I'm fascinated with your ability to understand a lot of the world. So tell us what you majored in school. How did you start? Tell us what you majored in school.
So I went to Chapman University in Orange County, California, in the city of Orange, where I studied organizational leadership with an emphasis in psychology with minors in sociology and communications.
That sounds complicated.
It sounds a lot more complicated than it is. It was basically just me being an overachiever and able to make everything multiple count for awesome things.
Now, you actually, the organizational leadership, I see that in your work with us at Pilgrim's Way. And I understand from you that there's an emphasis on multi-generational.
That actually,
dynamics.
That's more my own personal emphasis, which is I believe that each of our generations has something to learn from one another, and that we bring different things to the table. So where the baby boomers are now reaching a certain cusp of their personal careers, they're now looking for their passions and what it is that they're really after. And then you have the millennials or the Generation Y, the more 20-somethings, who are looking for the same thing, but they're expecting to be able to do that now without having the experiences that the baby boomers had. And so how can those two very diverse and different groups work together to elevate each other and really help find their own personal passions?
So this is what you sort of orchestrate in your organizational endeavors.
That's what I try for. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, does this come from a personal experience?
It does. Well, my father is a little bit older than what would be traditionally for my age range. I mean, I just had my 30th birthday, and my dad is 78 years old. And he has been married. He's on his third wife, and each one has had been in a different generation age range. And so I have brothers ranging in ages from 45, or will be this year, to 15. And so watching, it's a 30-year age gap with me right in the middle. And so I'm at that perfect place to be able to watch how every different generation kind of interacts with things, and how they learn and how they grow and how they explore and how they communicate and all of those wonderful things.
If you're just joining us, we're in studio with a local Chad Freeman, owner of Freeform Ventures, and this is Simple Life. I happen to know, Chad, you actually stay in touch with your rather large family.
I do, yeah.
How many people in your family?
For brothers, I am one of five, and then for extended family, there's 120 or so people. Yeah, it's a group.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm actually the trustee of our family's place back in Connecticut, so I have to manage all of those different generations, and
there's your
it's fantastic.
Organizational leadership.
Absolutely, every time we talk.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that you draw from all of that, your education at Chapman and then your real life experience and your work.
Mm-hmm.
How do you notice it shows up?
I would say mostly it is observing how people interact and how they function and how they think. And you take each step that they are working for or the challenges that they are tackling, and you look at them from different perspectives. So that's kind of what I love. I love people, and I love watching how they grow and explore and play, and then I like being able to help them find what it is that they're truly passionate about or what they're looking for and trying to do.
Well, you're really good at it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I try my hardest.
Yeah. And it sounds like when you describe it that mm-hmm. your passion is all around it.
My passion is people. You know, that's really the main thing. I like how everyone approaches something slightly differently, and that you can look at the same challenge and the same piece of art or the same book, and everything, you view it in a slightly different way, each person.
And so you you create an index of sorts,
yeah,
and then maybe translate for people when they're not connecting.
Absolutely.
With each other.
Yeah, and I try and help them see what the core principle is that they're trying to go after. I try to pull that out, extract it, and get down to the nitty gritty details but in a playful, fun kind of way. Because that's one of my main things. Like, I actually kind of joke around that I have the three P's that I go after. The first P is presence, about being in the moment and mm-hmm. being there. The second one is the power of pretty, and it's about making things nice that even if you don't necessarily know how to present it, if you make it look good and present it in a nice way, it is easier to understand. And then the last one is the power of play, that everything needs to be fun and playful, and if you can engage in that, everything else kind of flows along the way.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And, you know, when I was studying in massage school several years ago, I remember learning that laughter massages the heart.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
So there's a good practical function.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you endeavor to do? I mean, here you are. You've got all this great life experience with your own family of 120.
Right.
And you have a pretty impressive clientele list. If anybody's interested, just Google Freeform Ventures. And
the top
you'll
one
find,
that pops up.
That's mm-hmm. right. And he's, of course, got a great-looking website.
Try to. It's in development and changing a little bit, but we're going to get it perfect. Yeah.
But it seems like these are just sort of stepping stones, that your real gusto is yet to come. And I'm curious if you have a sense about what that might be.
Not completely. I'm still developing it myself. I actually, even just this week, have been sitting down and trying to be my own best client. So to take myself through the different processes that I go through with my clients to figure out what it is that I'm really in pursuit of and really going after. I think it is, the consulting is huge for me. It's helping people develop what it is that they really want to do, and either one-on-one or as a business and organizationally. But then I have this huge drive and passion and love of everything entertainment. So everything from TV, movies, books, music, all of that. And so I've been playing around with my own blog/email blast that kind of explores all of that with a playful way.
How would someone find that blog?
Actually, you can go to Redoodlesmack. It's a crazy word, but it's RIDOODLESMACK.com, or else you can find me on Facebook as well for that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. We're chatting with the local Chad Freeman, owner of Freeform Ventures, and finding out really cool things about him.
Aw, thanks.
The entertainment aspect.
Yes.
I know, because we talk about movies.
Yes, we
and
do.
And you're always totally on it before I ever even see it.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you spend to entertainment?
Probably more than I should, but actually, no, that's not true. I spend just as much time as I would like to, which is so... I watch almost everything that I can possibly find, but even the stuff that I don't watch, I like to read about and know about and explore. I would say at least 2 to 3 hours a day is devoted to either learning about it, watching stuff, and exploring, finding out what's coming up next and where it's coming from and who's doing it and it's a nonstop encyclopedia that goes through my mind, which is so much fun and crazy and, yeah, great times.
Yeah, and I'm just, my mind is swimming, Chad, because I'm imagining that you are fed with this kind of input and the aspect of you that is playful or really values that sense of play and creativity, as well as the fascination of dynamics between people.
It's huge for me. I mean, even like I love people in general, like I said, but even stuff that looks kind of cheesy and can be considered maybe not highbrow entertainment, such as like The Bachelor or something like that, I find so fascinating because you can watch how these people interact.
That's
and the human nature of it and what we're all sort of going after, even when it's this hyper put together, overly produced thing that you know that they've edited to make them be almost completely different people than they actually are, but yet they're still human, and it's so fascinating to watch that.
Love of people.
Yeah.
Does that love of people, Chad, come into play? I know you've done some work with youth programs.
Mm-hmm.
Does it come into play there?
Oh, hugely. Yeah. I think really what that comes down to is watching people. Well, I guess I view kids as many people. They're people in development. I mean, they are their own individual already. And so really being able to help cultivate their own individuality and their own finding their passion at an earlier age than having to wait until you're 60 or 50 and kind of all of a sudden realizing that you've worked your whole life, but yet you've never really been truly passionate about what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
So being able to help teenagers and even middle schoolers or younger sort of light that fire and find that inner passion that they can then take on for their future.
You know, that's really awesome. I get chills when you describe that. And at the same time, young kids today have so much stimulation.
They do.
You're kind of competing and you're venturing into a, quote, grown-up arena. How do you cross that threshold with them?
I think, again, you have to talk to them like they're humans. They're people. Actually, one of my clients is Community of Caring Monterey Peninsula, and we just did our second edition, our second venture into the Pursuit Youth Expo, which is a one-day event for high school students from around the county. We had 10 schools from five different school districts from around the county.
Wow.
And they all came in. This was a little bit smaller than it was last year. Last year we had 250. This year we only had 100. But it's a great day that explores personal passions, what they're after and what they're interested in, what their interests are, what their personalities kind of lend themselves to do, and then help them explore that. And then we give them the tools that to be able to interact with people and actually be able to articulate that and explain it in a clear and snazzy fashion. And then we actually give them the opportunities to interact with the people themselves. So we bring in lunchtime mentors who are individuals from around the county and around who are professionals, and we have them sit at lunch and talk to these high school students about what they're interested in, what they do, what causes they're passionate about, and what they're really driven to do. And then we release them from that into an expo that has service opportunities for them to either volunteer at or get more information about and see what the next thing can be for them.
That's huge.
That's
what
fun.
An undertaking.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad to know that that kind of program is actually in the works in Monterey County.
It's fantastic.
Do you have enough of a sort of length of time that you get feedback from people who've already gone through it?
We have. I mean, we actually were just doing a debrief this Monday, and we had several people who were saying that going through the course of the day that they realized that they actually are really great with interacting with people, that they have found their pursuit and what it is that they're really wanting to go after, that they need to grow up a lot. Just several really fantastic things. And even the better thing that I loved was that we had the mentors leaving the day holding the workbook that we've developed and saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to go through this for myself and take my kids through it as well, because there was so much great information in there that they really wanted to bring that forward.
So yeah. If there are teachers listening, Chad, how would they go about getting in touch with someone to have this at their school?
Actually, the best way would be to go through Facebook, which is facebook.com/PursuitYouthExpo would be the best way, or to Google Community of Caring Monterey Peninsula, or go to communityofcaringmp.org.
Very good. Well, hang in with this break that we're going to take right now, and we will be back with more from Chad Freeman on Simple Life.
I'm not surprised, not everything lasts. I've broken my heart so many times, I stopped keeping track. I took myself in, I took myself out. I get all worked up, then I let myself down. I tried so very hard not to lose.
And we're back from that break. Chad, you know, you were talking about Community of Caring. I happen to know that there's someone close to you who's in charge of that
organization.
Or at least at the helm.
Mm-hmm. The executive director of Community of Caring is actually my mother, Kathy Speller. And she's an amazingly wonderful woman who knows way too many people around here. And if she doesn't know you, she wants to know you. She's a people person too, which obviously is where I got that trait from.
That gene.
Yeah.
She is delightful. I always smile when I see her. So I'm so grateful that the two of you are in the same family and doing a lot of the same work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Youth programs. Now, this is a really big endeavor. I know that you put together that text.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of volunteers mm-hmm. who helped out with that expo.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a size of?
Yeah. You know? Well, so from the original inception of the Pursuit Youth Expo, there was one student who actually brought the whole concept to us, and her name was Nikki Aneska, and it was actually her senior capstone class at CSUMB. She is a volunteer from way back, and she just kind of sat back and went, you know, I think high school students and youth need to know that the skills that they gain through doing volunteer opportunities actually can be applied to their future career endeavors. But she didn't know what that was going to look like or how it would happen or what size the event would be. And so she came to Community of Caring, who she had volunteered with for almost a year, and asked, how could we do this and what would it look like and what could would happen? And they brought me on because I've done events in the past, and so I knew how to pull a slightly grander scale event into being. And we rallied and had, last year, I think, 45 college guides and volunteers. This year, it was a group of 30, all from CSUMB, all doing service learning type activities and just being there to help escort the youth through the course of the day.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
that's really fun. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plans to continue this work?
There are, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're looking at how we might be able to adjust it. Does it go to the fall when it's easier to have access to, or what that might look like? But yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You strike me as someone who chooses the kind of influences that you have.
This is true. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that you keep in touch with what's going on in the world, or do you?
I do, in the sense that I'm aware of the happenings, but at the same time, I curate the way that I grab the information. So whether it's just through online things, whether it's just through sort of media avenues, through either things that I catch on TV, or actually I get it through other people, friends, Facebook, that kind of thing, where I see the happenings that are going on, in the more social media stream versus really going out. I don't do the news a whole lot, in large part, just because it doesn't. I love the world, but having all of the negative stuff isn't what really keeps me going and enlivens me. Actually, my mom was laughing at me the other day because I was watching, or she said, no wonder I'm so happy all the time because I watch Ellen and I watch like Chelsea Lately and these people that are all about laughter and about having a good sense of humor while still looking at the good and the bad in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking as you're describing that, that reading newspapers or being sort of up to date on the news, especially the political scene and the environmental scene, has got to rain on your play parade.
It does indeed. But at the same time, I think if there's an issue that I'm especially passionate about or that I'm really interested in, I like seeing how people turn it into a positive or spin it to make it work, or they look at it as, even if it seems like a downer, they switch it on its head and see what kind of creative solutions that they can make out of it, find the opportunities in the hardship.
So again, you're looking below the surface at the creativity.
Absolutely.
And the underpinnings and the dynamics.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, because to me, it's if you allow yourself to be bogged down by all that is and not what could be, you lose even more than half of what the real value of the circumstance is. It's kind of like you look at an iceberg, and that stuff that's totally visible on the top of the surface is a minuscule portion of what's underneath the surface and what really has the main impact on situations and circumstances.
We're in studio today with local Chad Freeman, and I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. This is Simple Life. You know, Chad, I have a curiosity question for you.
Absolutely.
You definitely work with and I think are part of the younger group of population. And I have often wondered, with so many, I guess you could call them intense issues on the planet, you know, if our young people are not really up to staying in tune with it or deciphering through the minutiae of the details, we're losing some creativity or maybe some informed responses from them.
Right.
And I don't know if that's how it appears to you, but help me out with that.
I think, how would I say this? That the 20 somethings or the youth of today, they are actually really active and are activist-y, to switch things up a little bit. But they are very, they kind of focus on what it is that really matters to them and what has an impact and in their lives as well as in the world that's around them. And then they kind of go gung-ho to support or to make a difference on those given circumstances. That's not to say that they ignore the rest of things, because I think in a world where we have Twitter, Facebook, all of those social media tools, we're actually exposed to so much of the world and so much of what is happening, and there's a different way of getting involved and making a difference. I don't know if it's as active as it might have been in the past, but they are sharing and disseminating the information and exploring and expanding their own mental minds in different ways than what might have been in the past.
Now, when I look, Chad, online, and I get a lot of my news not from mainstream media,
right.
Which is one of the things we love about KRXA, Progressive Talk Radio. It's local, and you get it the way people here really, you know, offer it.
Right.
But online, I get information, and sometimes it's conflicting, and sometimes it's slanted. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a phrase out there called disinformation, where there's maybe even, a marketing intention of confusing the public awareness, and it can be difficult to sort through it.
It can.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then, you know, whoever, myself included, who gets this information, if we do take action, it can be misplaced.
Right.
Do you have a solution for that?
I don't think there is a end-all, be-all solution for that. I think really whenever I see information, I look at, So if I'm getting the information, say, from Facebook,
right.
I look at who the person is that I'm hearing it from. I look at who the source is, and then I will tend to try and go to the original source because most of those people have where they got the information. And so I try and get down to who the real person was and where that information was coming from so that I'm trying to get as original and authentic factoid as I possibly can before I try to make any real decision or action from that. And it takes a lot of effort and time to try and get down to that original place. But at the same time, to me, that's the easiest and best way to know that what you're moving forward with is not through multiple filters.
Yeah, you're basically validating the credibility.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good practice.
It's one to try for, at least.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And do you see, Chad, that that in our world of technology, where people have so much virtual engagement with people, that they have less physical engagement?
I would say yes and no, because in some ways, what it does do is it allows you to know people in a slightly different way than you would in the face-to-face. But at the same time, nothing can take away the power of a long meandering conversation with a friend that you're sitting and having a cup of tea.
That's
or
so true.
Going out for pizza or a drink or whatever it is and sitting and talking about life and love and whatever it is that they saw in the news or whatever they have been feeling that you can't do through a tweet
or
you can't do through a status update on Facebook that you can't do with a photo on Instagram. But at the same time, with all of those things, it gives you a insight into their mind and into their world, and it actually can help you understand who your friends are in a slightly different way if you look beyond just the surface. Yeah.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Chad Freeman and talking about technology at the moment, other things in line with Simple Life. You know, I really have a sort of a surprise when I encounter people who don't like Facebook or they maybe they don't trust Facebook, or maybe they resent Facebook sort of harvesting their personal information, etc. But personally, what I do appreciate about Facebook and other programs like that are just literally I get to connect with friends I wouldn't otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know, we live busy lives, and I have friends up and down the coast of California, and I like knowing what they're up to. Mm-hmm. It really matters to me to have a couple sentences of a status or a picture with family photos. And I think it's something that I value.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's huge. And for someone who, like, I graduated college right around the time when Facebook was released. And so to see how my friendships have evolved and grown and changed, not just because of Facebook, but along with Facebook. I mean, I had a buddy of mine. He was actually my big brother in my fraternity, and he just got married down in the Dominican Republic. And I wasn't able to go to the wedding, but I got to see the photos the day of or the next day of him and his beautiful bride, you know, and I would not have had that opportunity unless I had flown to Nashville where he lives and seen the photos, or he had sent them out, or, you know, that kind of circumstance. And yet here I got to, in some way, shape, or form, be a part of that life-changing experience
exactly.
for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what would you say to folks who have some hesitation about Facebook or technology in general?
I would say know what it is that you would want to get out of it. That for some people, Facebook isn't the place to go. But that's because either they're intimidated by the massiveness of it. But I would say it's the best way to know whether it's right or not for you is to try and see and play around and take it seriously, but have fun with it at the same time, because there's so much out there that is so worthwhile. You just have to find what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good advice. We're speaking with Chad Freeman, owner of Freeform Ventures locally. And Chad, I wonder if you could share with us, what kind of work do you do?
What do I do? Well, professional title, as I say it, is I do brand management, business consulting, and work with generational dynamics. And so I do everything from help someone develop a logo, help them refine their business vision, both visually as well as organizationally. And then I work with people on how they interact with their employees or what it is that they're really going after. Basically, I kind of also say that I'm just a general life guru. So whatever anybody needs help with, I try and figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, I think that's a good label for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
You know, the whole play thing, you really encompass play. I mean, when we have business meetings, it is usually the most we laugh all day long.
I try my hardest.
I know. It's so great. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that there is a sort of a master key mm-hmm. in humor or comedy or laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, do you find that in your line of work?
I do. I mean, I vividly remember being working for an event planning company in New York, and I'm a happy guy because of the number of times that I moved. I made a conscious choice when I was probably like six that if I wanted to make friends, being a happy kid was an easier way to make friends than to be the new kid who was sitting in the corner pouting. So I chose to be happy and have fun and be the smiley one instead, because I knew that people would at least then approach me to talk to me. And so that conscious choice, I think, has definitely had an impact throughout my life. But when I was in New York, we were putting together this beautiful event, and I was cracking jokes and having a good time, and all of the other employees were looking at me going, you need to stop, because they don't like that kind of atmosphere. And I knew that I was not destined to stay with them, because an event that didn't have joy even in the planning and in the process of it being built didn't seem like an event that would be worthwhile for me to be a part of. And so I have made a conscious choice with the people that I work with the projects that I take on, that there's always a little bit of sense of humor, a little nod to the joy that life brings on a constant basis.
I heard a quote once, Chad. It was, the shortest distance between two people is laughter.
I completely agree. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, stay with us. We're going to take a second break here, and we'll be back with Chad Freeman and Simple Life. We're listening to Michael Bublé in honor of Chad Freeman. He does a great Michael Bublé impersonation. You've got to see it sometime. But one of the things that I really think you have incredible value mm-hmm. in is your ability to connect with the younger people.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to call them the younger people, but I guess now that I'm not one of them, I have to say that.
Right.
But you have this multi-generational dynamic ability mm-hmm. to really translate and communicate. And somehow it strikes me as a really unique tool, a really unique skill set. And I mean, I love the work that I hear you sharing about the youth programs and getting people sort of ignited in their passion.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you feel that way about any age group.
Absolutely. Yeah, hugely. I think really for me, it's, again, it goes back to play and what it is that really ignites someone's personal fire. And that I, it always sort of saddens me to hear people who are feeling trapped in what it is that they're doing on the day-to-day basis, that they feel like they are stuck in something or they are scared of change because what else could it be and where could it go? But at the same time, to live in that place is so constricting and restricting that finding the joy and the laughter and the generational, whatever it is that your certain skill set is, you can really make a profound difference and a change, not only in yourself, but in all of the people that are around you. Yeah.
So you kind of, you walk your talk.
I try my hardest to. Absolutely. Yeah. It's my goal to be as authentic and original and completely me as I possibly can be, because who else could I be?
You're best at you.
Somebody else wanted to try and be me, go ahead. But really,
it would be an impersonation.
It is. Yeah.
What kind of challenges have you really been up against in your life, Chad?
I think parents divorced when I was really young. So just sort of finding my own place. The moving around a lot, parents looking for jobs and doing what it was that they were doing, which I think while that could have been a real challenge, what it did give me was the adaptability and the ability, chance to transform myself and figure out who I really wanted to be, making a conscious choice on that rather than, again, being the morose kid in the corner. I think also there's been several family things. My older brother was paralyzed in an accident. My mom had a brain tumor. My dad and stepmom getting married when I was 15 and then finding out that I was going to have a little brother. All of those kinds of huge major life things that happened. Actually, I think it was my mom who really put forth the play factor in that even in the darkest of times, you can always find something to laugh about and that can take you through that situation and that circumstance, you know, and sometimes it could be a slightly dark sense of humor, you know, poking fun at things that might not be appropriate. But what it does is it just takes you out of that place of darkness and again, heals yourself with a little bit of laughter and a little bit of play.
That's a lot of wisdom.
Try my hardest.
We're here in the studio with Chad Freeman of Freeform Ventures. And if any of you out there have gotten the newsletter from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, Chad has the masterful fingers behind the scenes. And he's just been a godsend to us for a number of years now. I don't want to count them.
has been a few.
But, you know, jack of all trades in many respects, but certainly a complement to our needs and skills. Yeah, very much. So, Chad.
Yes.
The guy who likes to travel, you mentioned to me that you really, your soul is soothed by travel.
Hugely. So,
share a little bit about that.
I think, again, it comes down to the love of people. I mean, I remember being between my sophomore and junior year of college, just kind of hitting a wall. I was doing so many different activities and so much stuff that I felt like in some ways I was losing myself. And so I had the means to be able to go to Europe. And so I traveled, went to London, Florence, Venice, Rome, and Milan, and Paris within 2 weeks, kind of a wham bam straight through kind of an experience. But I vividly remember being on one of the water taxis or the water buses in Venice and seeing one kid who was on there and he was playing a video game. I think it was like a Pokemon video game. And another kid got on the bus at the same time and immediately came over and was looking over the kid's shoulder. Don't think they knew who they were or who one another was, but they immediately had a connection. And so that here across the world, people are making connections in the most minute little ways, but it's still humanity. And so from there, I also was able to go to the Galapagos Islands from after my senior year of college. I went to Australia with another excursion. And every place you kind of went, you just got to see people being people. And every time was something new and different and wonderful. And you could bring it home and still feel that sense of oneness kind of with the world.
You know, Chad, I have done a little bit of traveling, mm-hmm. and I really believe that it would certainly contribute to world peace. Mm-hmm. Because when I traveled, you're right. I mean, people are people no matter how they dress or yeah. how they speak mm-hmm. or what customs they might have. And there is a commonality that really unites all of us.
Hugely.
And it also, you know, allows for differences.
For sure. Definitely. I mean, that's also one of my favorite things was walking around London and hearing all of the different languages that were being spoken on the subway or in the tube or just down the street. And you'd hear five or six different dialects and accents and languages within a 2-minute period. And you felt like we're all moving in the same direction, even when we don't know one another. And that was just so beautiful and wonderful to kind of be around. Yeah.
I think you need to write.
Well, I enjoy writing, yes. So I play around with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of writing, mm-hmm. This show is co-sponsored by Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore. And I'm wondering if you have a favorite book of all time.
Favorite book of all time would probably be The Odyssey by Homer. I remember reading it when I was, I think it was 8th grade. And then I actually wrote my senior project about that in high school. That was about how the interaction between the Greek gods actually impacted the culture of ancient Greece. But I loved the journey that Odysseus is going on in that story and the quest to get home and the challenges that he goes against and yet the hope that he just works with and his wife, her just waiting for him there because she believes with all her heart that he is still coming home. It's just a beautiful story. Yeah.
So you know Rick Riordan.
I do indeed, yes. And I love some good, you know, the child at heart of me. I love everything that is young adult, and I have nephews, so I like being able to talk about the books that they do. And so Rick Riordan with all of his
Percy Jackson
beautiful
series,
stories
yeah.
about Percy Jackson and the next one and the ones where that talks about Egypt, the Red Pyramid, and the Cain Chronicles, I think is what it is. And then his newer ones.
Isn't there an Athena?
Yeah, The Mark of Athena is the most recent one that was bringing Roman gods and merging them with the Greek gods and how those kind of interact.
Ooh.
Where it's just fascinating to think of here they had basically the same gods, but yet we're giving them totally different personalities.
Uh-huh.
And again, it goes back to people being people and that it almost gave that personality and individuality to the higher powers. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are you reading now?
What am I reading right now? I am bouncing back and forth between several books. I'm working my way through Danielle Laporte's The Firestarter Sessions, which is about personal growth and development. And she's a fantastic blogger that talks about all of those wonderful things. I'm also, the one that I just picked up was a young adult novel that is being turned into a TV series. I don't even remember the name of it, though, off the top of my head.
Where's your phone?
I know, right? Yeah,
it's like... Chad would get his phone.
me without my phone is not a situation that happens a lot. Delirium. Is that the one?
Now, that was a book, Delirium.
Yeah, Delirium by Lauren Oliver is the newest one, I believe. And it's, talking about what if love was outlawed.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be turned into a TV series for the CW. At least they're working on a pilot for it. And it's kind of crazy that you're coming of age and they viewed love as sort of the root of all that was wrong with the world. And so the government decided to find a cure for love and basically take it out of life. And so then you were given who your mate would be. But what problems come with that as well? The lack of connection, the lack of feeling. They found that they couldn't cure it at birth, so you had to deal with having the disease until you were almost 18, and then you were granted freedom of what love would be. And it's just an interesting wow. sort of dystopian society kind of aspect thing while being in the not too distant future, and is love really a bad thing, or is it really the thing that makes life worth living?
Mm-hmm. Or as some people yeah. say, love is all there is.
It's true. Yeah. yeah. Or all you need.
Or all you need.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, it's been such a pleasure to spend this time with you and share
fun.
You with my audience.
Thank
Life
you for
Radio.
Letting me be able to be here, Cynthia. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, take good care.
And you as well.
Chad's one of the nicest guys or people that you could ever want to meet. I truly enjoy spending time with him on any level for any amount of time. He's completely energetic. I don't know if you got that over the airwaves, but very animated, very energetic, lots of sound effects, and brilliant internally. So we're so pleased to have him on our team at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. He's been just, like I said, a godsend. So I'm so tickled. And, you know, we know that Chad likes Michael Bublé, and so we played that in his honor. But I have some other things that I want to tell you about. As I mentioned in the beginning of this hour, I'm actually not in Sand City at the moment. This is a pre-recorded interview so that we could, you know, have it ready for you while I was off playing. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about what I'm doing. The Buckeye Gathering, as I mentioned earlier, is a gathering once a year that takes place up north near Healdsburg. And I'm not sure how many people come. I think there's more than 100. But this is my first time. I found out from a friend, and very much outdoors. It's camping accommodations, a lot of classes every day, great local food provided, and, you know, campfire at night, lots of community connections. So when I get back, I will definitely have a lot of stories for those of you like me who love to have these kinds of experiences and education. And I'm happy to share that with you because I am definitely a naturalist at heart. I really am very earthy for my friends who know me. And that's one reason that we were so delighted to host the event last week, The Pipeline and the Paradigm, Keystone XL, Tar Sands, and the Battle to Defuse the Carbon Bomb. If you haven't had your copy, there's probably still some signed copies in the bookstore. And hopefully you were able to hear Samuel Avery, the author who gave the lecture on that. And if not, I just want to mention here and now that he was interviewed here on Simple Life, and that interview will be posted on YouTube under the channel, the YouTube channel, Simple Life Radio, one word. And we'll have that up and able for you to listen to it. Going to be different than the lecture, of course, so hopefully you can hear, you know, both, because there's just so much to learn about the trade-off, the very difficult conflict between the needs of corporations and, you know, business, and the needs of the earth and those who require a healthy earth to be healthy and live upon it. So it excites me to have this kind of content available for our public. And yet at the same time, it's a very difficult issue and a weighty one for anyone who dives into it. So I totally applaud those of you who have had the courage to take part in uncovering the details of this and weighing out for yourself what it is that you really think is important. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in and keeping Simple Life at the forefront of your dial on KRXA 540 AM. If you want to send me an email, please send it to simplelife@pilgrimsway.com. There is a Facebook page for Simple Life, same name, Simple Life. And I really appreciate everyone's feedback. So look forward to hearing from you and speaking with you next Saturday, same time, same channel, 4 to 5 on 5:40 a.m. See you then. And the other has luck. Wherever you are, whenever it's right, you'll come out of nowhere and into my life. And I know that we can be so amazing. And baby, your love is gonna change me. Now I can see every possibility. Come on, wait, wait. And someday I know that it'll all turn out. And you'll make me work.
I just haven't met you yet.